Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
So far we've covered experiencing God's promises in the face of doubt. We looked at Abraham, Genesis 15, and Abraham learned that God was his shield and his great reward. And then on April 10th, we looked at experiencing God's strength in times of weakness, looking at the people of Israel. And then last Sunday, the youth shared. We had Melissa and Daniel share, and then Josh shared on experiencing God's confidence in the face of insecurity, looking at the life of Gideon. Today we're going to look at fear not, experiencing God's presence in the midst of trials. Now, this past week was the Boston Marathon. I don't know if anybody kind of took note of that. I noticed in the Lincoln paper that there was a pretty long list of people from Nebraska that competed in the Lincoln Marathon and in the Boston Marathon, and many of them were doing it in a little bit of defiance of terrorism, because remember back just a few years ago where we had the Boston Marathon bombings that were targeted at bringing fear, and so in light of that, there's people that choose to run it just in defiance that we're not going to let terrorism have its way in our country. Now, a current reality is that if you travel outside our borders, you open yourself up to terrorism. And it's, we know that all too familiar that that terrorism has also come to America. But you, especially you go outside our borders, as an American, even though you have done nothing to maybe harm other people, you somewhat have a target on your back. When I go and take a trip overseas to teach, I have to sign the form that, hey, if I'm taken, kidnapped, that they're not going to come after me or pay a bribe. So I'm counting on you, Dave, okay? You're going to organize that SWAT team. You're going to come and get me, all right? All right, Dave. That's part of our reality in the world that we live in. But even as a Christian, I don't think we sometimes in America realize what Christians around the world face bearing the name of Christ. I'm just going to hit some of these. These are just highlights over the last couple of months since the first of the year. In Asia, Chris, and you can put up those pictures. In Asia, a pastor and his family were severely beaten in an island that has strong Islamic influence there in Hinduism. But they went to rescue one of his daughters. There was a drunken celebration, and they began to beat the son, and then the father came in, and then the wife, and all of them were severely beaten. Fortunately, all of them survived, but it was because of their faith in Christ, and they're working in a very difficult Hindu nation and country trying to share Christ. But with it comes some trials and tribulation as they present Christ. In Pakistan, on Easter, so not very long ago, Christians were gathering there to celebrate and to worship in Pakistan Easter Sunday, and a suicide bomber went into the midst of the crowds. I don't know if you guys caught that on the media. Blew himself up. 74 dead, 30 were believed to be Christians, 29 children, 240 people injured, definitely targeting Christians. In Egypt, in the last couple of months, ISIS was responsible for the beheading of 21 Egyptian Christians in Libya. These Egyptian men, many of them went to Libya to find work to provide for their families, and ISIS got a hold of some of these guys, 21 of them, and they were beheaded because of their Christian belief. And that's the world that we live in. It's kind of a heavy note. The Voice of the Martyrs is a website. You can go to their website. But they say in over 40 countries around the world today, Christians are being persecuted for their faith. In some of these nations, it's illegal to own your own Bible, to share faith in Christ, to share Christ. And if you change your faith, that is grounds for sometimes even death. And those who boldly proclaim Christ sometimes face jail time. Some of them are executed for their faith. And for us here in America, for us to face that type of persecution, that's probably not going to happen right now. What is more likely is that you are going to face maybe mocking or rejection or hardship because of your faith in Christ. And you may think, well, no, that doesn't happen. It does happen. Melissa is here today, but she posted on Facebook about Doan and in their Doan Online newspaper about the conservative voice at the Doan campus and how students, this is quoted from the Doan Line, says that, "I feel a lot of conservatives are scared to talk about their beliefs, especially in the classroom, because they're scared that their grades will take a hit. And if it reaches beyond the classroom and found its ways into the students' everyday life. As a conservative, I always try and hide my beliefs," one student says. "I know if I voice my opinions out loud, students and professors would take it personally and try to attack my position." Now, that's not every professor, and that's not every student. But it represents, even on our campuses across America, whether it's in the public schools or whether it is in the college classroom, to be a Christian and to maybe state some of your faith and beliefs means that sometimes you are going to face ridicule, that you could face rejection. And so because of fear, what do we want to do? We want to keep it to ourselves, right? We want to share Christ. We don't want to share our faith because of what it may mean. And this morning, how can we experience God's presence in the midst of trials? How can we become a witness if we are paralyzed by fear? And to answer those questions, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 10. We'll be looking at 16 through 33 and reading from the ESV translation. And this is what Jesus says to his disciples. He has just sent out the 12 to go into the parts of Israel to be a witness. And then he gets into kind of a more serious tone. This is a serious message, okay? And I want us to leave upbeat today. But it has some seriousness to it. And this is what Jesus says: "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Can you get that picture in your mind? Sheep out in the midst of a wool. A sheep doesn't have AK-47s hidden in its wool, right? It doesn't have big, giant steel teeth. A sheep is pretty vulnerable to a wolf or a wild dog. But Jesus says, "I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves." Doesn't seem fair. "So the wise, you must be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." So he's given us a little bit of insight here. "Beware of men will deliver you over to courts. They'll flog you in the synagogues. They'll drag you before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and Gentiles." And that did happen. All these things would happen. "And when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you will say will be given to you in that very hour. In other words, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, a father his child and children. They'll rise up against their parents and have them put to death. You'll be hated all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." All right, let's go down to verse 26. "So then have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be made known. When I tell you what I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And are not two of them... are not one of them that fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are much more valuable than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him in heaven. Father, we just ask the blessing over your word this morning. I pray you would take it and apply it to our hearts in these moments that we have. We give you the thanks and the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. You know what? Jesus says trials are going to come. All right? Trials are going to come. And as you look at church history, you see those trials come. Okay? And sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. And we're fortunate to be in a time in our culture, in our nation, where there is religious freedom. Okay, sometimes it is challenged, and sometimes it's not as free as it once was 40 years ago. But we still live in a nation where we have religious freedom, unlike many nations of the world. And you look at the persecution that was going to come. And in the midst of that, Jesus tells us, there's three things that I want us to pull from our passage. The first one is share your faith in the face of fear. Share your faith in the face of fear. That's in your program there. The concern here is that fear would cause believers to be quiet and not share their faith of what God had done in their life. Doesn't fear do that? If we're afraid, we're not going to be willing to share our faith. And Jesus says, hey, tough times are going to come, but don't let fear hide your testimony or keep you from declaring the truth of God. In fact, in verses 19 and 20, he tells them that the Spirit of God will give them the words to say and the boldness to know what to say. And the disciples, it would happen after the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. The day of Pentecost happens. God fills his church with his Holy Spirit. But soon after that, the disciples are brought before the Sanhedrin because they are preaching in the name of Jesus. They're not out there looting a community. They're not out there robbing. They're not out there causing violence. They are proclaiming Christ, and for that, they are brought in and challenged before the Sanhedrin. And God fills them with his Holy Spirit. They share their faith boldly. But they would face persecution. And we know that then persecution builds under Saul, who would later be converted and called Paul. But at his hands, there would be persecution. And persecution would be on, you're talking about 35 AD is when some of that takes place. Persecution would then continue to build up until like 64 AD, when Nero, how many have heard of Nero? Okay. Would start a huge fire in Rome. And he would blame it on the Christians. He would let it burn for several days. In fact, it says that he would be on his palace roof playing the harp while his city burned. There was something wrong up in that man's brain, okay? But then when it started, he started getting ridicule for it, and so then he blamed Christians. He said the Christians had started it. And so then severe persecution broke out on Christians, and so Christians were rounded up. They were tied to trees out in the courtyard, coated with oil or wax, and set on fire. Okay, others were put in wild. They were put in wild animal clothes, hides, and then chased by wild animals, dogs, until they were killed. And then it progresses into the Colosseums, where Christians would be rounded up and made sport in the Roman Colosseums. People would come like they would come to a football game, okay, right? And they would watch Christians being torn apart by lions and wild animals. We sometimes think that our world is cruel, and it was a very difficult time in church history and in world history. If you do some searching, just some pictures that are depicting that time. One is entitled Faithful Unto Death, just showing men and women being tied to trees and probably about ready to be burned at those trees. Very difficult time. And so the words of Jesus is, fear not. Fear not. Some of these things are going to happen. And persecution would be upon the church until 300 AD, until a Roman emperor would come in whose name was Constantine, and he would have this vision. And as he was out on the battlefield, he has this vision of the cross. He embraces Christianity. And so persecution stops. But you know what? The interesting thing is that Christianity did better under persecution than it did under when Christianity became a national religion. And I think the same thing would be in China. China has come out of communism, and there's been some relaxation of the cruelty they've done towards Christians. But if you talk to a person that was part of our church up in North Dakota, was just at a conference with some Christians from China, and they said, you know what? We're glad that there's no more persecution, but it's severely hurt the church because we've lost our fire. Isn't that interesting? She said, our Christianity was stronger when we were going through times of persecution. And Jesus tells us, I think those words where he says, be as wise as serpents, but innocent as doves. Just this past week or two, Kurt Schilling. How many remember Kurt Schilling, the great pitcher? But he was just released from ESPN as a sports analyst because of a tweet that he made concerning the North Carolina law on public restrooms being used by transgenders. Okay, how many have heard of that, right? And he put a comment out there, and, you know, I don't think his comment was wrong, but there again, you have to be, as a Christian, you're held to a higher standard, okay? And we may speak the truth, and we may speak what is right, but if we don't do it in a way that is right, or that can pass speculation from the other side, then sometimes we do ourselves harm. And so he was released from that. I don't disagree. He says, I don't agree with it, but then he says, I wouldn't feel comfortable sending my daughter into a restroom where anybody that claimed, hey, you know what, I'm a woman, and really they're a man, and they go into the restroom. He says, I wouldn't feel comfortable with that, sending my daughter in there. And I think there's a lot of dads that would feel that way. But things get construed, and in our culture right now, we may say that there's tolerance, but when it comes to things like that, there is no tolerance within our society. Political correctness is ruling and reigning at a very high degree. And so in our charged environment, I think we need to speak the truth, but we need to do it as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. And if you want to speak the truth, you say it in a way that you've thought through and that cannot be twisted and turned on you. Does that make sense? Share the faith. Share your faith. Fear not. But share it in a way that's going to bring glory to God and that can't be construed by others. Secondly, Jesus says, fear God, not men. Fear God, not men. And it's sometimes easier to fear men, isn't it? It's easier to fear men. But Jesus says, fear God. Why? Men can only kill the body, right? God's the one that has control over your soul, where you spend eternity. And this life is just for a moment, you know, 70, 80, maybe if you're good, you know, 100 years. But, you know, in history and in time, that's just a vapor. And we, you know, just like Jim Bai, we just never know when God calls us home. The tough deaths are the ones that when it seems like God takes people home when they're young, you know, whether they're 10 or whether they're 20 or 30, 40, 50. It's a little easier when people are 80, 90, 100. But we still miss them, right? But this life is just a vapor. And he says, fear God, not men. People can harm us with their words and with what they want to do, but they have no control or say over our soul where we'll spend eternity. You know, and all the disciples, the 12, one hung himself, and then Paul, all of them would die as martyrs, is what, according to church history. They would all die at some point for their faith in following Christ. You know, I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but if God calls you to that type of death, you know what? You're dying in good company, amen? Amen. Number three. The last part, I'm going to read that. Um, verses 29 here. Let me find the right spot here. 29 and 30 and 31. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? When was the last time you walked out of Walmart and saw a penny laying on the ground? You see that all the time? How many of you reached out and pick it up? There's a few of you. All right. Yeah, sometimes I do. Sometimes I just walk on by because, you know, it's a penny. I don't know. Maybe can you still get a gumball for a penny nowadays? I don't even know if they have the gumball machines. And I heard in the news this week that they're looking at nixing, printing the penny because it costs more to produce than what it's worth. That'd be interesting, having no more pennies. But they're thinking about nixing it. But the point Jesus was making, you know what, a penny is not worth much, right? It was the lowest value currency, form of currency in the Roman government, system of government. It's our lowest, right? Penny is the lowest, 1 cent. And in that day, you could buy two sparrows for one penny. Okay, I know all of you wanted to know that information. And I guess they wanted them for various things. Two sparrows for one penny. And, you know, and it's not uncommon to be walking down the road or on the sidewalk and you see a dead sparrow, right? They're a dime a dozen. They're not valuable, are they? You know, in our culture, there's some things we put greater value in others. But a penny isn't of great value. A sparrow is just a common bird. But you know what? To God, it said that not a sparrow falls to the ground that he does not notice. And Jesus' words are saying, you know what? You are much more valuable than many sparrows. Than many sparrows. You are valuable to him. He says, not even a hair on your head. You know, you can't number all the hairs in your head, right? It's easier to number mine than it was a while ago. All right? Still a pretty tough task, though. It's still a tough task. But God knows the hairs in your head. And he says, fear not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. You're valuable to God. And God isn't going to allow something to come into your life that it has not been ordained by him. He's going to watch out over your life. And I come back to this, the premise of the Fear Not series, that I believe that too many times we allow fear a place into our life to control us. And we allow it to control our life more than we should. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. And there is a place for fear, but its place is to serve us. It is not to control us, right? Fear is there to say, hey, don't touch that hot burner, or don't drive in front of that semi that's coming down the road. Fear serves a purpose. But fear is not there to keep us from fulfilling what God has called us to do, to proclaim Christ and to make him known, to share our faith. Fear is not there to keep us in anxiety, and to tear us up on the inside. Fear isn't there to steal our peace. God has promised to give us his peace. And so the message that Jesus tells us throughout Scripture is fear not. And in our case today, it's fear not in the midst of trials. And I've pretty much isolated trials can come into our lives. Sometimes it's hell, sometimes it's other things. Today I'm kind of just looking at when trials come, because we are serving God. And Jesus says, you know what? If you're going to serve Christ, there's times you are going to face trials for that. But fear not. He's overcome the world, right? And he values you more than anything else. He knows what's happening in your life. And therefore, he calls us to fear not. I'm going to have the musicians come. The thing I like about this passage is that Jesus would practice what he preached. Wouldn't he? And it's one thing to get up there and preach a great message, but Jesus practiced what he preached. Would his physical body be threatened? It would, wouldn't it? He shared Christ, right? He showed people the way to God, Some people embraced it and other people rejected it, right? Ultimately, he would be taken to the cross, right? Not because he was a criminal, not because he had done anything wrong. It was part of God's plan. But because he showed people the way to God, it ultimately, death on the cross. Was Jesus afraid? I think he wrestled just like you and I would. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew what was going to happen. He said, God, if there's any other way to bring salvation, I'm up for it. I'm up for it. But he says, not my will, but your will be done, God. Jesus did not fear people. And God calls us to fear not, to share Christ with our world, and to live for him. Not everybody's going to understand. Sometimes God's going to grant you favor with people. And there's other times that if people pick up that you're a Christian, I've had that happen where they sense that I'm a Christian and they have something against Christians or Christianity, against God. And you may feel some of their wrath or their animosity just because you bear the name of Christ. Don't let it be because you're a jerk, okay? Peter talks about that. He says, you know what? If you face trials and stuff for doing things, wrong things, then you deserve it. But there's times you are going to face difficulties just because you bear his name. But fear not, because you are valuable to God. Amen? God, fear can mess with us. But we have to remember the words of Jesus to fear not. Our life is precious. Fear him and share him with the world that you come in contact with. Amen? Amen. I'm going to have a stand this morning. I'm going to go back to that song that we sang one other Sunday, but before we do, we're going to pray, but I'm going to have Amber. Amber will be back. And Josh and Karen, if you can be back there. If you need prayer this morning, there'll be people in the back corners there that'll pray with you for needs and requests. Let's just pray, commit our lives to Christ here this morning. If you've not committed your life to Christ, he's not your Lord and your Savior. Today is the day to do that. And I want to just lead us in a prayer of salvation. And if you mean that with all of your heart this morning, I believe it begins the process of committing our life to God and to make him our Lord and our Savior. And would you just join with me this morning, especially if that's where you're at this morning. Saying, Dear God, come into my heart and into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness and be my Lord and my Savior. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, would you just come and shake my hand? Just let me know that you prayed that prayer this morning. So we sing this song. I want us just to sing it as a song of victory and of God's presence with us. I think the chances of us dying as a martyr in our country right now, it's not very likely. It could happen. 50 years from now, who knows? We don't know what the future holds. What is more likely is that in schools you share your faith and friends are just going to maybe distance you or not talk with you, or they maybe even mock you or laugh at you. And everybody wants to fit in, right? You want to fit in, you want to be accepted. At work, you share your faith. Sometimes it means that you're not going to be part of the in group, right? You can kind of be kept on the outside. We want to fit in. And sometimes that fear of rejection, that fear of others, dominates our life more than it should. Let Christ shine through your life. Amen? Let His light shine. Father, this morning, I just ask your blessing upon your people here this morning. And I think there's probably not a one of us here today that has at times wrestled with just sharing our faith with our world and just how it's going to be perceived by others and taken by others. And sometimes we've given fear too great a place in our heart and in our life. And so, Father, I pray that you would cast out all fear. Let your peace, your presence, your spirit dwell in our hearts and our lives. We serve a mighty God. We serve one that died on the cross for our sins. It's such great news, good news, that the whole world needs to hear, Father. And Father, I just pray you would allow us to be that bright light in our world. Do not let fear allow us to keep that light covered up, as it says in the Gospels, to hide it. But let our light so shine before the world that they may see your good works and give your Father in heaven glory. We ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Let's sing this song together this morning.